Well, good evening, and thank you guys for trusting us with your Wednesday night. And you guys lucked out. And if there's someone in y'all's group that isn't here yet, I would encourage you to encourage them to show up at 6:30, because every single one of us is bringing our own just messes into this room from our own sinful, you know, past, that there's shame that's involved, or we're bringing in just a day's troubles, or you're just bringing in frustration from work or traffic. And it is good for our minds and our hearts and our souls to be reminded of what is true, so that we can come into a place, as you go into small groups, as you listen to Rick in just a minute, so that your heart can be ready to heal. And as I just thinking through those songs, that is the truth of the gospel. Like, the hope of our heart is Jesus Christ. The hope in our marriage, the hope in our lives is Jesus Christ. And if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you are welcome here. All truth is God's truth. But we want you to know that our hope is in Jesus. And one of the things I loved about some of the songs we sang is that, like I said, hey, Jesus died in our place. I deserve death. I'm jacked up, and he died in my place. Jesus stood in my place, past, present, and future sins. And that's why we have hope, is because the God of the universe loved me, and he loves you so much that he stood in your place and he died in your place. And that's why we can sing, even in the midst of difficult situations. And so a friend that's about to come up, he knows about the goodness of God's grace in his life, as his life has gone from a place of being broken and hopeless to a place where he's offering hope to others. And so Rick Smith was on staff for 5 years with us at Watermark, and he recently just left to start a new ministry to pour into a different group of folks. And so please welcome up Rick Smith.
Hey. All right. Hello, hello. Is this thing on? Testing, testing. You hear me? Good? Yeah. So like Ryan said, I was on staff at Watermark for five years or so. If you ever saw Real Truth Real Quick, I was the guy that asked Todd questions and then nodded for 6 minutes. And it's always encouraging when the organization that you were at and you leave invites you to come back. So that always feels really good. And so my name is Rick Smith, and man, I am just one broken dude saved by the grace of God in my life. That's the only reason there's any good in me. I'll show you a picture of my family. This is my family right here. We're pretty imperfect. This is me, my wife, who's incredibly out of my league, just in her kindness and her love and her grace. Our son, the little baby there, Cohen, and Jackson with the bow tie, and that is our son, Noah, there, who was born with Down syndrome. And actually, his life story plays... His life plays a lot into my story. And so I was in seminary at Dallas Theological Seminary. My wife was a resident at Children's Medical Center here in town. And our life was going pretty normal, you know? And we thought we had everything kind of, you know, you're kind of thinking everything's going to play out. And we were surprised to learn a couple hours after our very first son was born that he was born with Down syndrome. And so this is Noah. That picture, in fact, when that was taken, I had no idea that I was holding a son with Down syndrome, because I wouldn't have learned that until several hours after that picture was taken. And so something like that happens to you, and you go, man, that was just a left hook, a right hook, something you never saw coming in your life. Those are the kind of things that happen to other people, and you pray for those people, and you encourage those people, but that doesn't happen to you, right? You donate to someone's GoFundMe page that that happens to. And so when that happened, it really set a course of events for my life that brought me, actually, we started a blog called noahsdad.com. We found out shortly after that picture was taken that over 60% of children prenatally diagnosed with Down syndrome are aborted. So let that sink into your mind. So every time you see one kid like Noah, there's two more that you don't see because their life was taken away from them. So we thought, man, how can we change it? We started a blog. God, in his kindness and goodness and craziness, decided to blow the blog up. We started reaching people all over the United States, actually around the world. It's called noahsdad.com. That got me to Watermark. I actually met Todd as a runaway dropout high school kid about 20 years ago. I had met Todd Wagner, who became my friend. So you fast forward 20 years in the future, started working for Todd, working at Watermark, doing technology that I had learned from when I started that blog with our son. Now we have a nonprofit or an organization called Hope Story right here, hopestory.org. And what we're trying to do now is connect every OBGYN in America to a family raising a child with Down syndrome so that we can hopefully get more babies to be alive. And so you just never know the ebbs and flows of your life and how God is always at work in your story. Even the parts of the story that you think, man, this isn't how I would have, if I was writing the narrative of my life, this isn't how I would have wrote it. You can always trust that God is working in the background of your life for your good and for his glory. And so because of that, man, I have always been a tech geek. I don't know if there's any other tech geeks in the room today. Is there anybody here who you would raise your hand and you go, man, I'm a geek, I'm a tech geek. It's okay, it's a safe place. I am a tech geek. I'm the guy who, like some people get real excited about the World Series and about the World Cup. I get excited about an Apple keynote. And so that's me. You can judge me if you want to. That's just how I roll. And so I've always been just kind of a tech geek. And that has sort of been to my goodness, because I get to do good things like our son's social media. But it also has been, has caused me some harm in my life. And so what I want to do today is speak to you out of my own experience. And so you can judge me if you want, but I'm a pretty messed up dude. And so I want to share with you. And maybe some of the things that I'm talking to you about tonight, maybe those things ring true for you too. And so what we're going to do tonight in the next few minutes is we're going to talk about some of the pitfalls to technology in our marriage. And so typically when we talk about technology in our marriage, we talk about pornography and we go, hey man, you know, you don't want to look at porn, get filters, let everybody in your life have the filter. That's all good. And I feel like we talk about pornography a lot. And so I want to say just a couple things about that. One, some of the things we're going to talk about tonight are kind of black and white, gray area issues. Pornography is not a gray area issue, right? You understand that? That's a black and white issue, right? If you're looking at pornography, struggling with pornography, watching pornography, that is sin, right? God's never okay with that. And here's the other great news. If that's your story, there's freedom available in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He can not only free you, he can use that. He can use your story. He can redeem you. If you've never confessed that to your spouse, man, we've got story after story where God has redeemed people. And so we have a website. It's marriagehelp.org/porn. And so that's the only time you can type the word porn into your computer. If you're going to that website, you can tell your community group that we told you to go there, marriagehelp.org/porn. But we have resources there to help you. And what you don't want to be is ashamed by that. And you don't want to be held in bondage to that, because the enemy can go, hey, if you ever tell anybody this, you're going to be destroyed. And that's a lie. And there's resources. And so we want to help you. That website will help us help you. So to get started tonight, I want to do something that maybe is a little weird for you tonight. So grab your phone. I have mine on me, and I know all of you do too. Grab your phone, pull it out, unlock it, put your password in, unlock it, get it ready to roll like you're about to get on your Facebook or whatever. And we're going to do a little something today to get the creative juices flowing. So unlock your phone, grab it. And what I want you to do is just hand it to your spouse. And we're going to take the next 45 seconds. Your wife or your spouse can look through anything, text messages, emails, anything goes. Ready? Go. Just joking. Don't do that. This is not divorce court, okay? We are not trying to have divorces tonight or ever. I do that because of this. My guess is some of your Fitbits just broke, right? Your Apple Watch was like, hey, this is way too high of a heart rate. Here's the question for me and for you. Why does that cause so much anxiety? Why does it cause anxiety for the person that we made a covenant with, that we would be with till death do us part, the one that we want to have oneness with, the one that we don't want to keep secrets from? Why would it make us feel awkward that person would be able to look at our telephone? You see, that's weird, right? That's strange. But yet, for many of us in this room, my guess is that caused some anxiety for you. And so as we get started tonight, I want to give you just four pitfalls, if you will, of technology in our marriage. Because listen, we all want to use technology, but we don't want technology to use us, right? We want to use it. We want it to be a tool, a blessing, a resource. We don't want it to use us. And if you're anything like me, sometimes technology can mess around and use me. And so number one, the first point here is understand that passwords are meant to protect your personal information, not hide your secret life. Passwords are meant to protect your personal information, not hide your secret life. And so the problem is that many of us, we hide behind these passwords to protect this secret lifestyle. We, sometimes ask, Should I let my spouse have my passwords to my email? Should I let my spouse have my passwords to my phone? And we're going to answer that. But there's obviously not a verse in the Bible that talks about passwords, right? There were no iPhones in Jesus's time. Genesis 2:24 says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And so one of our goals in marriage, right, is to become one with our spouse. And so everything that we're trying to do in marriage, the question should be, hey, is this helping me have oneness with our spouse, right? And so the question is, should my spouse have my password? Should my spouse know my password to my phone? Should my spouse know my password to my Facebook? And so that's the question you may want to know. And so I'll give you the answer. The answer is yes. Yes. Why? Why would you push back? Why would you push back on that? Why is that a problem? If you're sitting there in your mind judging me, going, man, why that guy's saying, I don't agree with that guy. My question for you kindly would be, why? Why not? Why would your spouse not? Why would you care if your spouse had your password? You know, secrets don't create oneness. Secrets do not create oneness. Secrets create isolation. And so, you know, I don't want to get on your case or put guilt and shame on you, but I don't want you to live like that. You know, I've been married for, by God's grace only, over a decade, a little over 10 years. And we dated 7 years. And partly the reason we dated so long is I was a wreck, man. I wasn't walking with Jesus. I was lying. I was cheating on my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife. And I lived like that, man. I had two identities, right? I had this secret life over here. And I was like, man, this is life over here. And then over here, I was this really, you know, quote unquote, nice guy. And I always hoped those two worlds never collided, right? I was always wondering, man, when's she going to see, when's it going to come out? When's the truth going to come out? And the truth is, man, if you're hiding behind passwords, if you're hiding behind this secret life, maybe you've got two phones, right? Some of you are like, man, he's not supposed to know that. But maybe you have two phones and you're like, man, this is the phone. I swapped the SIM card out. Man, I know all the tricks. But here's the deal. You're never going to be free if that's how you choose to live your life. Not only are you never going to be free, your marriage, you can come to re-engage every single night of the week. Your marriage will never be what you want it to be if you're doing that to your spouse. If you're having secret conversations, messaging people you know you shouldn't be doing, having two phones, it's just never going to work out. And so passwords are meant to protect. They're meant to protect if someone steals your phone, they don't get into your Wells Fargo account, right? It's not to protect the fact that you're having a conversation with your secretary. That's not what passwords are for. They're meant to protect your personal information, not hide your secret life, which leads to another question. What about messaging people of the opposite sex? Is it ever okay, if I'm a guy, to ever send a text message to a girl? And if you're a girl, is it ever okay to send a text message to the guy? I'm going to answer your question. Yes, it's okay, with a huge asterisk, right? I mean, I have friends that are girls, right? I mean, I have friends. When I used to work at Walmart, my boss was a girl, right? We communicated. That would have been weird if I had, every time I emailed, text my boss, I CC'd my wife. I was like, hey, what's up? You know, I'm going to take an extended lunch today. CC Abby. Like, that's weird, right? But here's what I didn't do. Here's what I didn't do. I never got emotional, I don't think, with her. I didn't, you know, I stayed away. It was more transactional, not emotional, right? It was, hey, don't be weird about it, right? I mean, obviously, hey, I appreciate y'all. But I'm not going to get into a four-hour text message exchange with a wife in my community group, right? That's weird, right? That's odd. And so, yeah, I mean, you're going to, in the course of a normal day-to-day, you're probably going to interact, if you're in a business world, with a woman. But it should be transactional, not emotional. And here's kind of the golden rule, man. If there's anything that you wouldn't feel good about your wife hearing, knowing, seeing, that's probably a red flag. If there's anything that your wife ever saw or your spouse ever saw on a text exchange with another woman or even a conversation in the office, that's a red flag. That's a red flag. Number two, don't drown in a sea of information. You know, the problem is we hold in our hand access to more information ever in the history of the world more than Jesus. I mean, we know everything. In fact, in 1994, there were fewer than 3,000 websites. 1994. By 2014, there were more than 1 billion. This represents a 33,000,000% increase in 20 years. So the information it just comes over and over and over. And that can be good or bad, right? So for me, there was a time, it's really kind of weird. It kind of came and went, but I was really afraid of flying. I don't know why. I flew for a while. I've flown after that. But there was like this season I was just like afraid, like needed medication to get on a plane, afraid of flying. So if you're not into medication, don't judge me. So, but one night I remember we were going to go to New York the next day. And it was like cold outside or something. And so I'm pulling up aviation maps about weather on the Google. Like somehow I'm a pilot and I can read aviation turbulence maps, trying to figure out how the flight was going to be in this bad weather. And I literally can't, we did not go. We didn't go on the flight because I'm up all night looking at all this information on Google, convinced, like, man, if I get on a plane, it's going down. I'm looking at these maps. It's like red over here. Red obviously is a bad color. There's red on this map. That's bad. I can't read in aviation. What am I doing? But we do that, right? We get on WebMD, and all of a sudden, the headache turned into, you're sure you got brain cancer. I'm sure every time I see a new mole, I have skin cancer. I'm convinced. I looked at the ABCs. I looked at pictures on Google, gross pictures on Google, and I have skin cancer. And so much information, it can hurt us, right? But not just information, curiosity, right? These are the what ifs. Like, man, I wonder what that ex-girlfriend's up to. I wonder what that girl in high school that I dated is up to these days. And we start playing those games. I just wonder what she's up to. Maybe you send an email, a little Facebook message. Hey, just thought I'd see how you're doing. I see you're married with four kids now, but just thought I would shout out to you and see how you were doing since prom. You know, like, that's weird. How's things been since prom, you know? That's weird. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And so don't allow yourself to drown in a sea of information. Don't allow yourself to get caught up in accessing all this information and letting yourself get worried. You know, you can go into a tailspin. Instead, say, hey, I'm going to focus on what's good, pure, honorable, Philippians 4:8. Don't compare your life to someone else's highlight reel. Man, this is a big one, right? Like, it's easy to compare our life to someone else. I got this quote by Michael Jordan. You see Michael Jordan up here, and he says, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. When you watch ESPN, you never see a highlight reel of all the times Michael Jordan missed, right? You just see like Mike, I want to be like Mike. You never see all the misses. And so we've got to be really careful when we're on social media that we're not comparing our life to someone else's highlight reel. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like you move into a new house in a new neighborhood and it's awesome. You love it. It's got the open floor plan. It's got everything. Just like Chip and Joanna just came over there in rec shop. And then all of a sudden you get on Facebook, and then someone in your community group, someone in your Bible study, some friend that you knew from college, they moved into a new house. And you're like, man, they have so much more natural light in their living room than I do, and their pictures look amazing. This house is horrible. We're moving today. Man, we have marble countertops. They got whatever. Man, we're out of it. And you start comparing, right? But not just with the house. You do it with your marriage, right? Man, look, they're always on vacation. How are they always in Hawaii? I want to sell Plexus so I can always go to Hawaii. They always have a new Lexus. That's amazing. My Lexus broke down. You know, I don't even have a Lexus. You know, but that's how it goes, right? And you're like, man, why is their life so odd? They never work, yet they're always in Hawaii. That's amazing. But you know what, man? Like, look, I got into an argument, man, a bad argument with my wife this week. And it's horrible, man. I'm a sinner. What I didn't do was go, hey, Abby, can you hold on for one sec? Just keep crying like this. Like, I just didn't do that. You'll never see me post anything like that. Because I want to shape what you see, and I want you to think a certain way about me. Maybe no one can relate. Maybe I'm just super messed up. But man, it's all just what we make it, right? In fact, I'm on Twitter. I don't know if you guys are. And there's a couple of tweets that you'll never see me tweet. And they go like this. Here's the first one. It just says, was a complete jerk to my wife this morning. Didn't help her get the kids ready for church, but ready to go get my worship on. Hashtag bless. Anybody else ever been in an argument on the way to church? Maybe I'm the only one. Okay. All right. Hoping my kids will spend at least 2 more hours on their iPad so I can lay on the couch in peace. Hashtag dad life. Only 2 people liked it. Haters. Didn't help with dinner, dishes, or diapers tonight, but hoping my wife will be in the mood for sex anyway. Hashtag getting lucky. Hashtag husband of the year four, number four real. I'll never post those. Proverbs 14:30 says, a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bone rot. Anytime you're tempted to compare your life to someone else, your marriage to someone else, you know, it's like, man, their husband always sends flowers. No, their husband sends flowers and posts it on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. It's like, man, they always eat out at Bob's Steakhouse. No, they don't. They're on credit card debt. You know what I mean? You didn't see that bill. Every time you're tempted to compare, what you need to do is stop, and we need to celebrate what God has given us, right? Anytime you're like tempted to compare your marriage to someone else, you need to go, hey, God, thank you for my wife. Man, thank you for how she looks in a swimsuit. You know, thankful for our house. You know, you need to then celebrate what God has given you. Anytime you're tempted to compare, the antidote for comparison is celebration. And so you stop and you celebrate the blessings in your life. God, thank you for this house. This is a great house. Yeah, I mean, it could use more natural light and more open floor plan, but thank you for this. Thank you for this house. Last one. This is mine. This is mine. Don't allow technology to steal your most valuable resource, time. This is mine. So I remember being at Disneyland and being on a vacation with my family. Was on my phone. What's crazy about our lifestyle now is you can work anywhere, right? You're on your phone, you're answering emails, you're responding to people. And I was working at Watermark at the time, and I was on the phone. We paid crazy amounts of money to be at Disney, and I'm on the phone. And I remember Todd Wagner, you know, the boss. He was like, hey, get off your phone. I mean, I don't remember that. I'm sure he said it more loving than that. He was super kind all the time. But he was like, go spend time with your family. You know, he was encouraging me, go spend time with your family. And I don't know if you've ever been there before, but maybe you've done this. Maybe I'm the only one, but you mistake being there with being present. You know, I do that. I'm like, man, I'm here, but I'm completely not there. You know what I mean? Maybe you've done that. You know, you go watch your kids play at their school, and the whole time you're like this, and you know, like you're not even there. You're at your kid's soccer game, and you're on your phone. And so I do that. I waste time. I say I don't spend enough time or time in God's word, but yet my electronic habits would be like, man, Rick, you have a lot of time. You know, you're just choosing to do it in other ways. And so we waste time. And I think, you know, I'm not saying you can't surf the web, right? But if you spend more time crushing candy than you do talking with God, there's a disconnect for you and me both. And so Psalm 90:12 says this, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days, man, because life is like a vapor, that we can get a heart of wisdom. And so just a few boundaries. One, I'm talking to myself here, not to you. So I'm going to talk to myself. And if it applies to you, cool. But put your phone away on dates and vacation. This is a hard one, right? Because if you go on a date and don't post it on Facebook, did the date even really happen? You know, I don't know. A boundary box. You know, I've heard of people putting a box in their house, and when they come in, they put their phones in the box, and they don't get them until like after dinner. Everyone in the house, kids and adults included, so the kids can say, hey, mom, dad, your stuff's not in the box. Accountability, community, asking your community group, hey, would you ask me how I did this week if I you know, spent time with my family, carved time out? Because really, in 20 years, you'll never wish you posted one more status update or scrolled through your Facebook feed one more time, but you will wish you would have played a little more with your kids or dated your spouse a little more. And so as we wrap up, the goal is not shame and guilt, it's oneness. And so if you're here today and you're not a Christian, this all seems probably pretty nuts to you. But once you invite Christ into your life, once Christ comes into your life, he changes you. He changes your desires. He changes what you want to do. And then if you're here today and, man, you violated all these, right? You're like, man, Rick, you didn't talk a lot about porn, but man, I'm hooked. I'm not just looking up my ex-girlfriends. You know, I'm talking to them. I'm doing things that my wife doesn't know that I'm doing. My husband doesn't know that I'm doing. In fact, I have four phones, right? I hope they never find out. I'm here today. I didn't even want to come tonight. And what you need to know, man, is that there's forgiveness in the gospel of Jesus. God can take, man, look, if you knew me, if you hung out with me for 10 minutes, you'd be like, man, this guy is off his rocker, man. This guy's a sinner. But what I know, man, what I know is God can forgive us. Man, he can take the worst of sinners, which that's me, by the way. And he can wipe your slate clean, but not just wipe it clean. He can give you freedom, because if you're here today and you're living like that, you are in bondage, man. You may not be a Christian. That may sound like a weird word to you, but you're handcuffed. You're handcuffed. And man, in the gospel, there's freedom. God can free you. And so I want to give you three things tonight as you leave. Is number one, is there anything to confess to your spouse tonight? Where you go, man, I need to tell you something. And maybe for you, you need to grab your spouse before you leave this building tonight. And you go, man, I have got to tell you something. It's been eating me up from the inside, and I've got to get it. I've got to tell you. So is there anything to confess? Second question is, if your spouse was to confess something to you tonight, would it be safe to do so? Would you threaten them with divorce? Would you say, I'm out of here? Or would you go, hey, that took a lot of courage for you to share that with me, and I'm hurt, but I'm in this, and we're going to get through this. And so what would you be like? And so open up your spouse to your spouse and have them give feedback. And man, you need to know something again, that the goal is not shame and guilt. The goal is not, if you leave for today, man, and you're elbowing your spouse on the way home and say, hey, I told you that guy told me I should have your Google Plus password. You know, you've missed it. The goal is not to be the technology police. The goal is not to say, hey, give me your phone. Let me look through it. The goal is oneness. The goal of all of this is going, man, are we one? Do you feel like we're at one? And so, man, let me pray for you. Father, thank you for your grace in our life. Thank you for the power available in the gospel, how you don't just forgive us, but you change us. Man, you change the way we want to treat our spouse. And we don't want to hide things from our spouse when we're abiding with you. We want to have oneness, and we want to go back to our first love, which is our spouse and the one you call us to. Pray for all these friends here tonight, Father. I pray if there's anyone here tonight, number one, that doesn't know you, tonight would be the night they would come to know you. And two, if there's anyone here tonight that's like, man, I need to confess. I need to get right with my spouse, that tonight would be the night. They wouldn't wait till tomorrow. Tonight would be the night they do it. And I pray, Father, for your grace over every single conversation. Pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Man, I hope you guys took some good notes. Lake Gray Hubbard has three of my cell phones, Rick. Yeah. I would, in the midst of the affair, I would pull over and change out SIM cards, and then got to the point to where, for fear of my husband finding out the messages, I began just tossing the goofy phone over the bridge into the water for fear that I would not be found out. And man, what I learned coming through Reengage is the truth of Romans 5:8, that Jesus Christ died for me, even while I was still yet a sinner. And just came to understand, as Rick really nailed it home tonight, is what matters is, do we understand the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And when I understood that Christ is more than anything that my goofy cell phone or affair or porn could ever give me, I mean, that's when life change happened. What would it look like, guys, if we put our cell phones aside, instead of the clicking and the tapping of websites and apps, instead of doing that, if we began turning the pages of God's word, and if we began spending time with our spouse in prayer, instead of spending our time of texting and running after stuff that will just never, ever bring us life. So we hope tonight that you grabbed some nuggets of information that you can tuck away. And man, when it comes to walking in freedom, like he talked about, James 5:16, tattoo it on your heart, that when we confess for one another and we pray for one another, that we can be healed. And that is our goal, is to help all of us move toward oneness.